part the Red Sea. We came over. The Egyptians were drowned and left. Even today, scientists have proven their particles, their chariots, because the chariots were made of gold. And we know gold is something that doesn't rot or would not, fade away. So it's there at the bottom of the ocean. They're able to see it at the bottom of the Red Sea. Even today, scientists have proven this, right? So it happened, and we know for a surety that it happened. And they were the ones who witnessed it. And what I wanted us to look at today was the meaning of the word murmur. Murmuring, as per Professor Google, which I was able to use quickly today to get some meaning. It's a low, continuous background noise. So when the children of Israel started to speak, we know it's going to start from the heart, because the word of God tells us that out of the mouth, the abundance of the heart speaks, right? Out of the mouth, the abundance of our heart speaks. So they started to murmur in their heart. And if any of us know anything about a heart murmur, if you go to the doctor and the doctor says to you, I hear a murmur in your heart. We know we have HCG, we have all kind of stuff. We start thinking of where we need to go, how we need to get this done to figure out, is my heart in the right place? Am I in the right place? Am I healthy? Is my heart healthy? Has it been damaged, right? But the word of God says that they were discouraged. And because of the discouragement, they started to murmur. Their heart started first to question God. Are we going to get bread? Are we going to leave here to die? What is going on? Is the electricity going to get cut off? Am I going to be put out of this house? Will I get the food to feed the children? Will I get the revelation as to if I should take this job or that job? What is going on? And they started to murmur. And through the murmuring, God said, you know what? The open door for affliction from serpents came upon the children of Israel. And it is through the affliction, that's when they reached out to Moses to say, okay, Moses, we're asking a kindly, please seek the Lord. We need to know what's going on and what to do, right? And so Moses prayed on their behalf. Why, Moses? Moses prayed on their behalf. And the Lord said, okay, he didn't take the affliction away. He said, for anyone who will look up, so if they believe that I'm able to heal them, if they believe that I will bring the provision of healing, if they believe that I will comfort them, make that serpent, and he who looks upon it, because in looking upon it, you would have to then believe that if I look upon it, I will receive my healing. If I look upon it, this bruise, this pain, this hurt that I'm receiving, that I'm getting from these serpents, I will be healed from it. And so the children of Israel were able to get their comfort. And people of God, I believe this word is such a timely word. When Sister Terry said, I was thinking about this Bible verse, these verses to go over and to minister on murmuring. I said, it is such a timely word, because we know the enemy that we face, the devil that goes about seeking like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. It doesn't mean that he's going to devour us, people of God. It's the situation and those around us that he will use to afflict us, to cause us to be discouraged, to cause us to faint, to cause us to want to think that, we're getting weary in well-doing, because they do so much, and it seems as if you're not amounting to nothing. But let us learn from the Israelites today. Let us learn from them. Let us not look on the situation. I know it is it blocking us. It is right in front of us. And if we focus on it, we won't be able to see past the issue. We won't be able to see past the circumstances. But let us not do like the children of Israel, to look on the negative of the circumstances. But when we do look back on what God has already done for us, and where he has already taken us from, the life of sin, the struggles and the hardship, being taught his word, being able to experience his love, to experience his truth, to experience his joy. Because remember, the word of God says, and this is found in the book of Nehemiah. Nehemiah 8 verses 10 says, where it speaks of the joy of the Lord, which is our strength. What is the joy of the Lord? Hebrews gives us the information. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. And if we think about pleasing, and if we think about joy, pleasure and joy is tied together. Joy is the feeling of happiness, being pleased, pleasure, and delight. That is what joy is. So if the joy of the Lord, which is us exercising faith, will give us strength to not get weary, will give us strength to not be discouraged, will give us strength to not lose hope, let us exercise our faith. Let us rest on the joy of the Lord, which is our strength. Let us remind ourselves. The song that Brandon Lake said, come on my soul, don't get shy on me. So we can replace that with the joy of the Lord is my strength. And remember, the joy of the Lord is not us being happy. It is us pleasing God by exercising faith on the words that he has given us. The
Hallelujah.
We have gotten, whether it is collective promise over this ministry or our own individual promises, whether it is promises given to us through revelation. And I know, well, Sister Kenesha, you don't understand. Why, people of God, I'm going to testify. One day I'll share my testimony. I'll share the testimony because the testimony is coming. We're still in the test, but the testimony is coming. The testimony is the message of how you overcame the test. So the testimony coming. So I know it is not easy. And when I read these words and I reflect on this word, I say, my God, that is it. Oh, the joy of the Lord. All along, all my days of saying the joy of the Lord is my strength, I was thinking about my own joy, not understanding that the joy which is my strength is faith exercised in the word of God, in the truth of God. That is the joy of the Lord that gives me strength to see a smile on my Savior's face, to know that what I am doing is pleasing unto God, though it is foolish to the world. Though it is foolish to those around me, but to understand that pleasing him takes precedence, because that's how we exercise our faith in him. So saints of God, I want to encourage each and every one of us to continue to exercise your faith in God, whether it is speaking the word of God over your life. Let us go to him first. Let us not murmur. I know that it is easy to murmur, but the moment the thought comes, say, the joy of the Lord is my strength. I will not murmur like the children of Israel, because I don't know about anybody else, but I don't want no fiery serpent biting me, right? So to avoid that, let us do the right. Let us take this example. And we don't have to call on Moses. We don't have to cry out for Moses to come. There is one who has taken the place greater than each and every one of those prophets who stood in the gap for the people of old. And that is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And even if we can't cry the hallelujah, let us whisper his name, Jesus. Let us whisper his name, Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And he will definitely come to our aid and come to our rescue. So people of God, I just wanted to encourage you through that devotion. I'm going to play one more song before we move into the word tonight. One more song. And this is just to encourage us. I want us to feel encouraged. That first song, who that was more of a soothing to our soul. This one is to encourage us to know that at the end of the day, it doesn't matter what it looks like, people of God.
Praise God. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God will certainly make a way. He uses the foolish things of the world to confound the world.
Only trusting. Only trusting.
Hallelujah. All right. So I know, of course, we meet on Thursdays to pray, to feast on the word of God. So for those of us who have any prayer requests, please note it in the chat. While I think Brother Scott, you're ready, man of God, Evangelist Scott, to grace us with the word of God. Note your prayer requests in the chat. And we will, of course, pray after. I believe we should. I think it would be good for us to hear the word, to be encouraged, and then to utilize that word to pray for it, to pray anything that we have to pray about. There are some things that we definitely need to pray. We need to pray for the leaders of this ministry. We need to pray for strengthening and encouragement, and to encourage ourselves in the Lord and to not get weary in well doing. When we meet here on a Thursday night, iron sharpening,
oh God,
impacting the lives of people, bringing salvation to lost souls, that is well doing, saints of God. When we sacrifice the time, whether we're at work and we have the earbuds in our ears, or we're driving home and we're tuning into the word of God, that is well doing for ourselves and well doing for those around us, right? As we get strength. So those are the two main prayer points that we will definitely be praying this evening before we go. But I'm going to allow Deacon Scott, Evangelist Scott, man of God, to call back and grace us with the word. And before you come, man of God, I just want to pray. Just want to pray over you. He's no stranger, so I don't think we need to do an intro. He's right.
So we all bless the Lord.
We all know our brother Scott. So Lord, let us pray. Holy, righteous, most heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord God Almighty, for this man of valor, this man of strength, this man of truth, this man of submission, Lord God, that has submitted to you, this man of humility, holy, righteous Father, that seeks you diligently to be able to bring Jesus forth your word with precision, with clarity, with truth. For Lord God Almighty, we know that that is what we need in this day. Truth, Lord God, the undiluted truth of you, Lord God Almighty, to guide us and to keep us in these last days. I thank you, Lord God Almighty, for this man who is bringing forth transformation in the lives of other men, encouraging us women, Lord God, an example, holy, righteous Father, for us to look to in seeking you and being diligent before you, Lord God Almighty. I thank you for your man servant, and I pray that our hearts, our minds, our souls, our spirits will be receptive, Lord God Almighty, to every word that will be spoken tonight, that it will not fall on deaf ears, that the soil souls, Lord God Almighty, has been plowed, has been Almighty God fertilized and ready to receive the seed, Lord God, that will sprout and bring forth fruit, Almighty God, in our lives. I thank you for covering him under your blood, Lord God, as he serves. I thank you for rewarding him, servant, Lord God Almighty, abundantly above all that he could ask or think, for you are the rewarder to them that diligently seek you, and you are no man's debtor. So I thank you, Lord God Almighty, for rewarding your man servant bountifully, Lord God, as he serves and serves you diligently. Thank you for the word that will come forth, Almighty God, from his bowels, from his heart, Lord God Almighty, connected to heaven, Lord God, divine words, holy, righteous Father, to bless our hearts.
Hallelujah.
Holy name, I pray. I thank you for covering him, his family, everything that is concerning him, associates, affiliates, Lord God Almighty, his ministry, what is happening now and what is to come, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Under your blood, we present him, we place him, Almighty God, keep him in the hollow palm of your hand. In Jesus' name we pray.
Jesus, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Yours, man of God.
Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord, Sister Kenesha. We bless God for you. And the way God has been using you to bring glory and honor to his name. To God be the glory. You know, I greet this platform. Greet my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, a soon coming King. We know he's right here with us. Promise never to leave us nor to forsake us. All the leaders and all of you, give God thanks for you all. You know, it has been A blessing having you all on here tonight. Hallelujah. And I know you have come stirred up to hear from God. And so as I come, my entire being is decreased so that God be increased. So not my voice, but the voice of Almighty God that makes the difference will be what will be transpired to you. Let us pray. Kind, loving Heavenly Father, we just thank you, mighty God, for your grace and for your mercy. We thank you, mighty God, for good soil that your word will fall on even now. We come against every plan, every attack of the enemy. We come against every tongue tie. We come against everything, mighty God, that would hinder this ministry. In the name of Jesus, I pray, God, that your word will go forth with power and with clarity. It will be sharp. And Lord God, it will bring forth a transformation and a deliverance in the life of your people. Let the words of my mouth, meditation of my heart, be now accepted in your sight. My God, my strength, and my Redeemer. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I believe I have a word from the Lord for us all tonight. Amen. It has been ministering to my spirit. And it has been, it has taken a toll of me as I delve deep into this word. Hallelujah. Quickly, I just want us to turn to the book of 1 Thessalonians.
If you have a Bible with you, it would be good.
But I'll just read like two verses or three verses rather from it. First Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16 to 18. It reads, rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Hallelujah. It is by no chance why our sister Kenesha, that led the devotion so beautifully, would make mention of the children of Israel murmuring instead of giving thanks. You know, it's a blessing when people of God can come to give God thanks, to give him praise, to give him worship. There is something about worshiping God, giving him all of you. It brings forth that transformation that we're needing. Amen. So may I say to you tonight that thanksgiving is a direct product of a born-again Christian. Hallelujah. Thanksgiving is a direct product of a born-again Christian.
Yes, yes.
We look at Apostle Paul. He wrote to the church in Thessalonica. Apostle Paul was a man who believed in the power and importance of thanksgiving.
Yeah.
To the Ephesians, he wrote, give thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Found in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 20. And he would have said to the Philippians, to the church in Philippi, the Philippians, do not worry about anything. But instead, pray to God about everything and always make thanksgiving a part of your prayers. Philippians 4 and verse 6. And he would have said to the church in Colossae, Paul said, whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks. Giving thanks to God the Father through him. Colossians 3, verse 17. We know that the Apostle Paul was a great man of God. And a part of his greatness came from the fact that regardless of what circumstances he was in, what situation he was in, he was always
thankful. Hallelujah. Let us look at some of the experience that Paul would have on his resume. When you look at 2 Corinthians 11, verse 24 to 27, Paul wrote, of the Jews, five times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in the deep, in journeying off, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils by the Eden, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness, in painfulness, in watching often, in hunger, in thirst, in fasting often, in cold, in nakedness. Our brother Paul has been through it. He had some rough days, and yet he's the one that is encouraging us to be thankful. He's the one encouraging us to have a praise, to come with a praise, because he knows he had that experience, and he knows it's amazing what praising God can do. Hallelujah. The Apostle Paul found contentment in whatever state he was in. In whatever state he was in, he had a praise, something to give God thanks for. Hallelujah. When we look at Philippians 4, 11 to 13, Paul wrote, I have learned in whatever state I am in, to be content. I know how it is to be abased, and I know how it is to abound. Everywhere and in all things, I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to be abound and to suffer need. And he said, I can do all things through Christ that strengtheneth me. Nowadays, we're seeing some Christians, whenever they are faced with difficulties, they don't bother to come to church. Whenever they are faced with difficulties, they don't bother to pray. Most times, and most of these difficulties that they would face, it's through their own disobedience.
And most of these difficulties
is not
that
because
they would face
God is their own God is unfaithful to them, but it's because of their own failures, leading on to their own understanding. Instead of acknowledging God in all their ways, they lean to their own understanding. And when they fall into depression, when they fall into calamity,
God in all their pressure,
it's as if they malice, they lose their praise. Amen. They cease to give God thanks. They cease to pray. As if they are angry with God.
As if
they become so rebellious.
They become so
unlike
rebellious.
Our Apostle Paul.
Unlike our Apostle Paul.
Apostle Paul,
through it all,
he learned to trust in Jesus. And he knows what praising God can do, the result that it can bring forth when you and I shout a hallelujah in the midst of our storm,
in the midst of
whatever we're going through, to be thankful, because this is the will of God
concerning you and I.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
One of the things Apostle Paul was thankful for was that God saved him. How many here tonight are thankful that God saved
you?
Oh, if it hasn't been for the Lord and my side, where would I be? If it hasn't been for the Lord who had rescued me, if it hasn't been for the Lord who has pulled me up, shaking me, put me through some situation that is not comfortable. Then I realize that I must need him to take me through it. If it hasn't been for the Lord that has called me out of darkness into his marvelous light, where would I be? The word of God tells us that our light affliction is not nothing compared to the glory that awaits us. Whatever we are going through now, it will add up one day. It will add up one day when we look back and see where the Lord would have taken us from and where has brought us now. We have to give God thanks. It may not look like how you'd want it to look, but thank God you have come so far away from where God has rescued you. He has brought you such a mighty long way. So what if you have to go to your bed without a nice dinner one day? What if you have to go look in your closet and realize that your clothes are now old? What if you have to look in your store basket and realize that the money in here looks funny? Are you going to stop? Are you going to cease praising because of the circumstances around you? That is the time that you must lift up the name of Jesus. That is the time that you must recognize that your strength at best is weak. That is the time that you recognize that all around is failing. And you need an anchor that holds. You need that anchor that will grip your soul and hold you firm and deep. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So instead of grumbling, it's time to give praise. Instead of grumbling, it's time to worship God.
Jesus.
Hallelujah. So Paul, Apostle Paul, was thankful that God saved him. Look with me, if you will, at 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12 to 15. Paul would write to young Timothy, and I thank God. I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into ministry. Who was before a blasphemer, a persecutor, an injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. And this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Who many of you, looking back at your life, realized how wretched and how wicked you were in action and thoughts? No, Jesus would have saved you. He would have made you make a complete turnaround. He would have made you shed off some weight that you were carrying. Now you're light and ready to journey along. But something happened along the way. And the first thing you could ever think of is to turn back into the world. God has so graciously rescued you years ago, months ago, days ago. And you just meet upon one little obstacle, and all that would come to your mind, I'm going to turn back into the world. It proves to me, or shows me, however, that when you get saved, hallelujah, if you just remain at saving station, every little wind that will come, every little thing that will blow you right back over into the world. That is why, as a Christian, as a born-again Christian, you have to be active. Find something to do that Amen. Will cause you to grow in the spirit.
Hallelujah.
Yes. And so Paul would write to Timothy. He said, Paul never got over the fact that God has saved him and redeemed him from his sins. So no matter what you and I are going through, just remember that God has saved us. Just remember that we are bought with a price, the precious blood of Jesus Christ. And no matter what storm clouds may come our way, just remember that he saved us. And he who had begun a good work in you and I will see it through to completion.
Amen.
He will never take you anywhere or into any situation where he cannot contain or maintain you there. Amen. He's a faithful God. Amen. And he will never leave us nor forsake us. So don't let your praise extinct, but let it be a resounding praise in everything you do. I praise God just the same.
Hallelujah.
When you are a thankful Christian, when you are a thankful Christian, it reveals that you are spirit-filled.
Mm-hmm.
It reveals that the Spirit of God fills you up when you can give thanks. If you are going through a circumstance or a situation and you find yourself cannot give thanks, kind of retract and look and see which Spirit really fills you up. Because we have the Holy Spirit living in us as Christians is a place of holiness. A place where whatever you and I are going through, we can give a praise anyhow because we have a joy. We have a joy that is inside of us. And we are not affected by the things that surround us because we know who is in control of everything in this world. Hallelujah. So whether it's pain wrapping your body, whether it's your bank account look funny, whether it's your job situation, whatever you're going through, you're able to give God thanks because the one that is living on the inside of you, the Holy Spirit of God that lives on the inside, calls you to worship in whatever situation that you're in.
Amen.
Cause you don't come out like pure gold. That you doesn't look like your circumstances. You doesn't look like the fiery furnace that you have been in. You doesn't look like the fire that seems like it's about to consume you. You can come out because you're not alone. You have a footman in the fire. The man Christ Jesus stands with you just like he did with the three Hebrew boys. So whatever you are going through this evening, Apostle Paul is reminding us to be thankful of it all. Hallelujah. We must always be thankful because we know that God can bring something good out of every situation. Every situation that you and I go through, God is able to bring something good out of it. Look at Romans with me. Romans 8 verse 28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God and them that are called according to his purpose. Hallelujah. So Paul doesn't say,
Jesus.
Hallelujah. Paul doesn't say that all things are good to the natural eyes. Everything that happened to Paul wasn't good. It wasn't good to be shipwrecked. It wasn't good to be beaten. It wasn't good to be left in the cold and hungry. It wasn't good to be put into prison.
Amen.
I don't think Paul is saying that these were good. They were bad. Yet Paul had learned that God was good and that God had a good plan for his life. And therefore, God was able to use even the bad situation for a good purpose.
Amen. Oh,
God, look at Georgie. Hallelujah. We must be thankful. Always be thankful because bad situation often give us an opportunity to talk about the goodness of Christ.
Amen.
Hallelujah. You and I love to hear a good testimony. We love to hear a powerful testimony. And sometimes we would wish ourselves had a moving testimony that wrapped the body of Christ, a testimony that moved the whole church. But did you know that a testimony started off as a bad experience? Did you know that a testimony started off as a trying time, a time when all hell break loose? A time when you now wondering if God is in all this.
Yes, amen.
Jesus.
A time when you feel rejected. A time when you feel distanced from your so-called friends. When all else forsake you and left you in the cold to die. And then come Jesus.
Hey, amen.
Is that a testimony? Is that an overnight thing? It's some testing and trials that you have been going through. Something that God has been taking you through. And if you don't praise God all the way through it, your testimony may never come. But when you stop long enough in the midst of your trials, in the midst of your testing, and praise God despite, in spite of it all, give him a praise anyhow, because this is the will of God concerning the believer.
Jesus, mighty God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
Jesus, Jesus, the hand of flesh has filled you.
Yes.
Yes. The hand of flesh, those who you put your confidence in, has filled you. The one that you would run to when you have a money problem, when you turn up at his door, he said, no, no money this time. Yes, when you go to the doctor tell you that there's nothing more that I can do, but take this pill and see if it will work. Yes, when you're going to the workplace, yes, and expect to get a promotion, then they give you a letter sending you home. We no longer need your service, and you think all thing, every thing has fallen in on you, but then you see God coming through for you. When you see him open up doors that no man could open up, and he let you in and give you a praise report. Through it all, you have learned to trust in Jesus. Through it all, you have learned to take him at his word. A testimony is not an easy test.
Oh,
it's a test that is worth all the money that you have. Plus more.
Yes, Lord, yes, Lord.
A testimony is not an easy test, but a testimony is a test that is worth all the money that you have and will ever have.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. Mighty God.
So when you hear someone talk about where they have been and how the Lord has brought them through, initially it started out as a bad experience. But God uses it so that you and I can take no glory in it. To know that you and I couldn't have brought ourselves through it. But it is God himself that has delivered you. God himself that has showed himself strong. God himself would have taken you out of that situation in the fullness of time. He came through for you when you're going up on the rough side of the mountain. You're trying your best to keep on holding on. You're trying your best to keep in the race. You're trying your best to hold on to his hand chain. You're moving up to the king's highway and you know, hallelujah, that there are so many that are against you, but you know that God is moving the believer, and he's going to take you through with a mighty stretched out hand. He's going to deliver you from your enemy, and the enemy that you see today, tomorrow you will see no more. When you have a praise, something happened when the people of God begin to praise him. Something happened when the people of God begin to worship. There is something happening when people of God forget about ourselves and concentrate on him and worship him in spite of it all. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We read about Paul and Silas. Yes, the same apostle Paul. He and Silas in Acts chapter 16. Yes, they were thrown into prison. The scripture tells us that they were arrested. They were beaten. They were tossed in chains. They didn't sound like that. Didn't sound like something good. That didn't sound like something that we as a people of God would want to find ourselves into. Yet God allowed God to make something good out of it all, because they begin to praise rather than grumbling and complaining about the problem. The Bible says that Paul and Silas begin to pray and to sing songs. Yes, but then something miraculous happened in the midst of their prayers. Scripture says that there was an earthquake and the prison swung open and the chains that all the prisoners are out here reminding you that there is something about the prisoner that is in your mouth. There is something about the hallelujah that is in your belly. There is something about what there is in God can do. Yes, the prison door will open and the chains will fall over. When you begin to praise this great and mighty God, the jailer, realize what has happened. The one that has brought them down in chains. He took his sword to kill himself. He knew that what the power that has been transformed in the prison of the Peter. Yes, but Paul said, do yourself your heart. We are all here because we are fired up. We have a praise on the inside. Our circumstances, our situation is not really matters right now. What really matters is the groaning on the inside of us, where Jesus lives, where we can cry out from the depths of our being and give him a praise in power, in whatever situation there is. Hallelujah. Yes, Lord. Look at our brother Job. Hallelujah. Look at our brother Job. He lost everything in one day. But in that one day, he didn't lose his praise. When his wife would say to him, curse God and die, he said, you speak like a fool. Job never missed the opportunity to give God thanks. Job never missed the opportunity to praise God. Although he lost every single thing, even the death of his children. And yet death could not hold Job's praises down. Job said, I will stay until my change comes, because I know that my Redeemer is
naked until I return.
Hallelujah. Despite what you are going through, despite what you and I are going through, it doesn't give us no reason to relinquish our prayers. We are still to pledge allegiance to the Lamb of God. Hallelujah. In Job chapter 1. Verse 20 to 22, Job said, then Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell down on the ground and worshiped. Over there you can worship when you're going through adverse situations. That's where the blessing is, when you worship God. In spite of what is happening to you, don't just hold on your head for a pity party, but rise up in King Jesus. Job said, and naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In all this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. In all this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. Jesus. Hallelujah. Trials are not enemies of faith, but it's an opportunity to prove God's faithfulness. So when you're going through some rough days and some trying situation, don't think that the Lord is not in there with you. The Lord is there with you in trouble.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
The Lord stays with you there in trouble. Yes. He's there and he watches over you. Hallelujah. Glory to God. May I remind you that we are living in the last days.
Yes, we are.
Apostle Paul wrote to Brother Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 3, telling him that in the last days perilous times shall come. And one of the signs to expect is people will become very unthankful. People won't praise and thank God. They've become so unthankful. So much so that even the very neighbors that they can see, they are so unthankful and rebellious against their very neighbors. You remember Jesus in St. Luke chapter 17, verse 11 to 19. Let me read it through it quickly. Jesus encountered 10 lepers who asked for help. In that, I'm just giving a synopsis of what went on. Jesus encountered 10 lepers who asked for help. He instructed them to show themselves to the priest for formal declaration of their healing. As they go, their leprosy was healed. Only one of the 10, a Samaritan, returned to thank God.
Hallelujah.
Only one out of the 10 returned to thank God. And he fell at Jesus' feet as an expression of his gratitude. Sometimes we must be thanking God for the test that he's taking us through, because we know that through it all, he's going to elevate us. He's going to lift us up. Hallelujah. We must thank him for all the trials and the tribulations that we face, because it's an opportunity that we're going to get to prove how God is going to change things around for you and I good. Amen. Jesus recognized the Samaritan faith as a key for his healing, emphasizing that his faith has made it whole. This story of the ten lepers highlights the importance of gratitude and faith in the Christian life. It also emphasizes that the inclusive nature of God's love as a Samaritan, often looked down by the Jews, is the one who responds with gratitude. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And so, how do we express our thankfulness to God as Christians? How do we express our thankfulness to God? We can go to him in prayers, praise him, worship him, thanking him. Enter in his presence with thanksgiving. You know, through prayers. Go to him, thanking him, thank God, praise you for all that you have done. The money still look funny, but I'm thanking you same way. The bills are still piling up, but I'm thanking you same way. The job, the return that I'm receiving from the job can't sustain me the way I want to be sustained, but I'm still thanking you. The car giving problem, but I'm still thanking you. The children giving problem, but I'm still thanking you. Everything that I'm going through, I'm still thanking you. The body still aches with pain, even though I lay my hands on it and pray for it, but it's still paining me. There's pain still all over me, but I'm still thanking you. Lord, I'm just going to just forget all about myself and concentrate and just worship you throughout all what I'm going through. Just worship you nonetheless. Just take all eyes off me and place it on you, because I know that when I look to you, you are the author and the finisher of my faith. For the joy that was set before you endured the cross, despised the shame, and is now seated at the right hand of God, making intercession for me. And I give myself to you. I give myself, I give my worship, I give my praise to you. I give my adoration to you. All of me, Lord, take all of me and use me for your glory. Take all of me, as sick as I am. Take me just the same, as broke as I am. Take me just the same, as tired as I am. Take me just the same, as fed up as I am. Take me just the same, as broken as I am. Take me just the same. There is not just one broken vessel that the Lord can't mend tonight. No broken vessel that he can't put together again. The potter is still at the wheel. The potter is able to turn you and to make you into what he wants to get you out of. When the fire, the utter fire, the sweet and the victory, when you go through it all and you realize realize that you by yourself could not have taken you through it all. But through it all, you have learned to trust in Jesus. You have learned to take him at his word. The Lord requires glory out of your life tonight. Whatever you're going through is a good time to break and to give God the glory, because he requires his people. Yes, yes, yes. He requires people to give glory to him despite of what you're going through. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Whatever you and I are going through, the Lord requires us to be praising him through it all. Sometimes you praise him and you don't even know, you know, you don't even see what is happening. But the Lord is saying, praise him just to see him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, mighty God. You are worthy, Jesus. I praise you, mighty God. I worship you tonight. I glorify you, mighty God. I lift your name on high. You are worthy of it all, Jesus. For from you all things and to you all things, you deserve the glory, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. So one way we can enter into the presence of God is with thanksgiving. And I said one of the ways, that's just one of the ways we can enter is true, in the presence of the Lord is with thanksgiving. Every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Whether you're of the devil or you're of God, one day we stand before him, and every knee must bow and every tongue must confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Don't wait until it's too late. Make your confession. Be here while you're breathing this breath of life, while the life is still in you. Make your confession and your election sure tonight.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Psalm 100 verse 4. Yes, Psalm 100 verse 4. It tells us to enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It tells us to enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Maybe you are wondering why your prayers are not answered. It could be that your lack of thanksgiving has locked the gates of God on you.
Jesus, hallelujah, hallelujah.
I say it again. Maybe you're wondering why your prayers are not answered. It could be that your lack of faith and your lack of thanksgiving have locked the gates of God on you.
Yeah. Mighty God.
It could also be that your lack of praise have barred you from the court of the Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Mm-hmm. Your lack of praise have barred you from the court of the Lord. It tells you that enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts.
With praise.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you.
Why are you not going into the presence of the Lord as you pray? Because there is no praise. The praises fly open the gates of heaven. Your praises fly open the gates of heaven.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Your thanksgiving lets you enter into the presence of Almighty God.
Yes, yes.
When you come with a puffed up spirit, when you come with a demanding spirit, Lord, I want this now, and there is no praise coming from your life, because you're not, what you are being blessed with is not getting no praise from what he has blessed you with, but every day you come with new requests, Lord, no, 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 I want this, no, 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 and you're here making requests, yes, 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 you're there making requests, but the Lord is saying that he needs some praises, so that he can open the heavens, gates of heaven and pour out a blessing upon you. This saying that he needs to worship out of your life so that he can open the courts of heaven and let you right in, let you enter in this temple and let your bones abound in the glory of God. When you have no prayers, there is a limitation on your life. When you praise, heaven open up and you are empowered. Yes. God has poured out upon you, upon our flesh, and there will be something at the inside of you that give you the courage to go on in spite of what you're going through. There's a momentum that is inside of you that propels you to higher grounds. Yes, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. It's amazing what praises can do.
Yes.
When you praise, the gates of heaven open wider to receive you in it. Oh, I'm a praise tonight. Whoever hallelujah in the belly tonight, shout it out. Let it ring out. The glory of God. Yes. I've consumed this night tonight. The Lord is here to do great things in among his people. It's amazing what praises can do.
Hallelujah.
Talking about thankfulness, thanksgiving, triumph. Hallelujah. And so prayer is an essential part of a believer's life. Hallelujah. A prayer, going before God, learning to communicate with God is an essential part of a believer's life. Someone once said, a prayerless Christian is a powerless Christian. Oh, if you're a Christian and you're not praying, you lose your power.
Jesus.
A prayerless Christian is a powerless Christian. A constant communication with God opens a prayer portal to heaven. That's our ministry, prayer portal to heaven. A constant communication with God opens a prayer portal to heaven. The devil fears when even the weakest believer begin to pray. Let your thanksgiving and your praise open up the gates of heaven and give you access to the throne room of Almighty God.
Give your thanks, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Thank you,
my Hallelujah. It was E.M. Bounds that said, we can never expect to grow in the likeness of our Lord unless we follow his example and give more time to communication with the Father. A revival of real praying would produce a spiritual revolution. That's the word of E.M. Bounds. And Samuel Shedrock would have said, the one concern of the devil is to keep Christians from praying. He fears nothing more. He fears nothing from a prayerless study, a prayerless work, a prayerless religion. He laughs at our toil, mocks at our wisdom, but trembles when we pray. Words of Shedrock. And Brother Eastman would say, the greatest hindrance of effective prayer is sin. Satan's greatest goal is to keep us from our knees. Sin has barred us from praying effective prayer. The word of God said his hands are not shut that he cannot bless, nor his ears deaf that he cannot hear, but your sin has separated him from you. Charles Finley, one of the greatest evangelists, Charles Finley said, if the spirit of prayer departs, it is a sure indication of a backslidden heart. For while the first love of a Christian continues, he is sure to be drawn by the Holy Spirit to wrestle much in prayer. Amen. Our greatest victories are won on our knees with an empty stomach. That when our greatest victories are won, it has to be in the spirit before it reaches in the natural. and it's done on your knees with an empty stomach. Amen. In St. Luke, chapter 18, the Bible tells us of a parable. And it said to the end of that parable, men always fought to pray and not faint. The key point that Jesus emphasizes in this verse is that we ought always to pray. There is no reason why we should cease praying. We ought always to pray. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 17, pray without ceasing. Romans 12, verse 12, continue instant in prayer. Ephesians 6, verse 18, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. Jesus outlines the importance of being constant in prayer by telling his disciples a parable regarding a widow's persistent plea to an unruly.